decided that Mother's Day should fall on the day when we moved the clocks forward. It was very cruel to you mothers. I don't know who decides that. My own view is we should leave the clocks alone. I'm quite happy just leaving them as they are. All this changing is so confusing, and we lose hours of sleep. But I hope you've been blessed, mothers, and we wish you a very, very happy Mother's Day. Our children are going to be joining us again just at the end of this service to just celebrate again with our mothers and the ladies here. So we come to the end of this, or well, almost to the end of this series. So we've got this week and next week. So this is the penultimate name of Jesus that we're going to be looking at. And we arrive at the last chapter in Revelation. We eventually arrive. So we hope that you've enjoyed the journey. Here are all the names up on the board. I don't know if you can see them all, but the Alpha and Omega was the one that we started with. The Living One, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb. The Lamb is the central one. That is the dominating image. So whatever image you go away with, I hope it's the Lamb, the slain Lamb that stands resurrected, who died on our behalf. But out of that comes the one who is called Faithful and True, the Word of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now we're going to be looking at this little verse over the next two Sundays, where Jesus says, I've sent my angels to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. So we're going to look at the root and offspring of David today, and then Chris is going to finish off by looking at the bright morning star next week. So this passage, and I wanted it all to be read to you, is a passage of... It's a passage in the context of Jesus coming. But that was true of the last three that we talked about, wasn't it? You know, the scene was of the rider on the white horse ready to return. Jesus is returning. But this passage moves on just a little bit with a very simple word. So it's not just, we don't just have in view Jesus coming. We have Jesus coming soon in view. Did you note the number of times it says soon here? So verse 6 says, show his servants the things that must soon take place. And then it says, behold, I'm coming soon. And the whole of Revelation finishes with Jesus saying, yes, I am coming soon. I was hoping you were going to say that with me. I am coming
soon.
Yeah, you got the point. And then this kind of response, amen, come Lord Jesus. And again, actually, when it was read to us, I was hoping that you might all go, amen! Come, we're going to do this at the end of the sermon, if I remember. Sometimes I say I'm going to do something, by the way. And you may go home and say, he never did that. It's because I forget, because I just get carried away. But if I remember, I think it'd be nice to finish this by just reading the last few lines together and actually for us to say, amen! Come, Lord Jesus. Maybe we'll do that in a little while. But that's the context that... that Jesus is coming soon. And actually the church cries out, come, come Lord Jesus. The plea of the church is that you might come. And in the middle of all this expectation, desire that Jesus would come sooner rather than later, there are these two names, the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star. When I looked at this and suddenly realised actually it was Mother's Day alongside this, I thought, oh, maybe we should have kind of dropped this series and done something just about mothers and gone to another bit passage. And then the more I looked at it, I thought, actually, this is the perfect passage for Mother's Day. There's much in this. It's all about family, actually. The root and offspring is all about family. Have you ever researched your family tree? It's something I would long to do. I'm kind of fascinated in our family, and my dad's family, for example, come from Cork. That's where we originate. We're kind of Irish. That will explain a lot, wouldn't it, really? Southern Irish, right down there on the coast. And apparently this is where Tim's very bright orange hair comes from. Apparently Cork ginger is fluorescent. So if you go to Cork, you'll see fluorescent ginger hair, just like Tim's, this is where it comes from. And I don't know if there's bits in your family you're kind of fascinated in the history. I'm fascinated in why my great-grandfather came from Ireland to London, probably part of the potato famine and all those kind of things, I guess. But I don't know the details. And I'd love to find out, if only I had time to find out. And I never knew him, of course. I knew my grandfather, but I didn't know my great-grandfather. And no one really says much about him, but I'd love to know a little bit about him. I've said to you before that I do love that programme, Who Do You Think You Are, on the BBC. It's a fascinating programme. And it's interesting to watch the people who journey through that programme, who discover things about their lives that they didn't know. And it changes them. They suddenly find greater confidence in who they are. They sometimes realise who they are because of their history. You know, they didn't know about their great-grandparents or their great-great-grandparents, but as they discover who they are, they kind of think, actually, I see a reflection of them in me. And I kind of stand on greater foundations with greater certainty of the person that I am. And sometimes some of them go into it a bit cynically, don't they? They think, oh, well, I'm not going to learn much. And they get to the end and some of them get quite emotional about their families, about who their families are, what their roots are, what their foundations are, who were the great-great-great parents of them. And they stand on the lives, on the shoulders of these people, don't they? We all do, in to some extent. This passage, this name, the root and offspring of David, is all about family tree, really. It's all about family tree. And I just want to break up the title for you and look at, first, the word David, because that's quite important that we understand that. And then look at the root, and then look at the offspring. Okay, so let's just look at the word David first. Why is David mentioned here? I mean, some ways you could argue this is good Jewish stuff in John. Lots of the terminology is Jewish terminology. Lots of the imagery is Jewish. So why isn't it the root and offspring of Abraham? He's the father of the Jewish nation, isn't he? So why does John, or why is the revelation, or actually the words of Jesus, actually, why does he use the word David? And he uses the word David because actually this kind of links with the last one that Toby did last week, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Who is the greatest king of the Jewish nation? David. Did I hear Toby then? Didn't even know you were here, Toby. Lovely to see you. David is the greatest king that the Israelite nation ever had. And so to kind of link back to the King of Kings, what John does, or Jesus does, actually, he reminds them that actually he's the root of David. He is the greatest king. He is greater than the greatest king that ever exists in terms of the Jewish nation. So here is the symbol, using the word David, is a symbol of greatness, that Jesus is great. It also reminds everyone that Jesus is the Messiah, the one who was promised to be of the line of David. Yes, of the line of Abraham, but actually of the line of David. Because the promise through Isaiah and our other prophecies is that it's through the line of David, the great king, that the Messiah, the one who would save the world, would come. And David, we don't have time to unpack it, but believe me, trust me, I've done a bit of it during this week. David is given this great and wonderful promise of eternal reign. It is David, God says to David, that I will put a member of your family on the throne forever and ever and ever. And so it's the root of David, it's the offspring of David that will reign forevermore. And therefore, listen to this, folks. Those who become part of David's family become part of an everlasting family. Actually, it's not the family of David, because this person, Jesus, is the root and offspring, and therefore is his family. The family belongs to him, the family of Jesus. So the David aspect is really, really important as we build on and look at what it means to be the root of that family. So Jesus says, I am the root of David. I did a little bit of research. I don't know what preachers did without Google. I really don't. I haven't got a clue. We can become so intelligent on so many things in such a short space of time. It's unbelievable. However, as I say that, I realise I step onto dodgy ground because this is all about kind of a nature and gardening and all those kind of things, which I'm not particularly good on. But I wonder if we could just put up that picture there of a tree. One thing I do know is, having walked my dog many times through Stoke Park Woods, is that you see a lot of trees, and you see a lot of strong trees, but you also see a few trees that are blown down, of course. And the trees that generally get blown down in the winter months are the trees that the root system isn't very good. And in my research, I discovered that actually roots are absolutely key to the strength of a tree. The roots are absolutely key. You see this huge, vast tree. And I've been to Yosemite National Park in America, and some of the biggest trees in the world are in Yosemite, and they're vast trees. One was so big that they could drive a car through the middle of it. So you can just imagine such a vast, huge tree. And you look at these vast, huge trees, and you wonder what keeps them standing. Well, it's the bit you don't see. It's the roots. Apparently, when you get a vast, tall tree, the roots of the tree extend at least as far as the tree is high. Did you know that? I didn't know that until I researched it this week. But that's the truth. And many of the roots go much, much further. So if you look at a tree and its great height, and some trees will be as high as this church, you will know that the roots will extend out as far as it is high. They don't particularly go deep, although some of them do, depending on what kind of tree it is, but they do go incredibly wide. And they just don't go out like that. They go out in every direction. So imagine this kind of platform of strength, this platform of foundation on which this tree is placed upon. And it's that kind of view of a tree that is really useful when we're thinking about the family that we belong to, the family that is the family of Jesus. Jesus is our root. How will you stand strong? How will you stand firm? Will you stand in your own strength, you know, like a tree that has no roots, kind of just standing there, and you know, as soon as the first just breath of air goes by you, you kind of topple over? Or actually, are you embedded in the root system that is Jesus Christ, who goes on and on and on and on? When we owned a house in Harlow, or part-owned a house in Harlow, when we moved in, there was a Lalandi tree in the front garden. Horrible things. If you like them, my apologies. We wanted this tree removed, but the problem was that we lived in a tree preservation area, so we had to apply to the council to have this tree removed. They gave us permission, but they stipulated how it should be removed. So we had to cut down half of this tree and then leave it, I think it was for about 3 to 6 months or something, before we could actually deal with the rest of the tree. But eventually the rest of the tree had to come out, and so we cut the tree down, and then I had to dig a hole to get the roots out. And I dug, and I dug, and I dug, and these just roots went on and on and on. And in the end, actually, I mean, Sue said, "Have you got all the roots out?" And I went, yeah. Just saw them off, just leave them. So they just kept going. That's what roots do. They become the foundation of all that we are. And Jesus is saying, as he calls himself the root of David, he says, listen, I am the original seed. I'm the original seed. I learned this today, this week, actually. From a seed, there just comes one root. Did I put it down here? Oh, I can't find it. It's got a particular name to it. Oh, it's the radical, or the taproot, apparently. That one grows down, but from that root, everything else flows from it. And Jesus is the original seed and root. But the roots are the source of water and nutrients for every tree, aren't they? That's why it has to be so far and wide. And from, you know, quite a distance, it draws up all the nutrients and all the water that feeds the tree. Jesus is our source of water and nutrients and provision. And of course, because of that, he becomes our strength. He is the one that holds the family all together. He is the mother of all mothers. He is the father of all fathers. He is the root. But he's also the offspring. It's not just the root, but he's also the offspring. And that's strange, isn't it? You kind of think, well, you know, you can be the root or you can be the fruit. But how do you be both? But in God's providence, in God's mystery, Jesus is the root of everything. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He is the root and he is the first fruit of the tree. He is the first brother in God. In a number of different ways. So out of this family of David, as family of the people of Israel, the ones who love God, who follow Yahweh, out of this family comes a great expected son. Some of you are grandparents. Some of you are parents. Some of you one day will be parents. Not all of us have this experience. But hopefully all of us have that moment where we hear the rumors that a child is to be born. Do you like those words? A child. There's something about those words. A child is to be born. Something about those words that kind of excite people. There are one or two people, it horrifies them, particularly if it's them that's going to have the child. But for the vast majority of us, there's something quite exciting about those words. A child is to be born. And there's something about that where you think, well, what's the child going to be like? I mean, when you're having your own child, you kind of wonder what you're going to produce. Particularly if you're married to me. You kind of think, goodness me. What's this, is he going to have two or three heads? So you kind of have an expectation and a wonder. You also kind of wonder what their life is going to be like. What kind of person are they going to be? What kind of successes, what kind of failures might be in their lives? There's massive expectation. And actually, in history, the greatest expectation of any child to be born was actually the birth of Jesus Christ. The expectation built and built and built for hundreds of years, actually, you could argue thousands of years, from the beginning of God's word to the very day that he's born, there's this build-up of expectation. It's like this drum beat that gradually starts to beat louder and louder and louder. A child is to be born. A child is to be born. A child is to be born. Isaiah kind of screams it, doesn't he, in terms of his prophecy. For to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. A child is to be born, the greatest child ever to be born, the offspring of this family of David, the greatest king, even greater than David, is to be born, the one they call the Messiah, Jesus. The expected son, the offspring, is born in. I'm feeling very Christmassy, are you? It's born in to this family. Placed in a manger in a tiny little village called Bethlehem. And this child, says Isaiah, will be given the increase of his government, and peace there will be no end. And he will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Do you see that some of the names beginning to link into this name, particularly the name of Faithful and True, the one who is King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The government will be upon his shoulders and there will be no end, but also the one who is faithful and true, who will balance all things with justice and righteousness. This is the anticipated and expected coming of a child. But it's more than that. It's not just the child that's born. It's not just the Messiah that is given that becomes the offspring of the family, because out of this offspring comes the fruit within the child. The blessing, if you want, of God's promise. So in Jesus, this child that is born, the offspring of that flows from this family tree, comes beautiful, wonderful gifts for anyone who will follow him. The fruit of chains broken, of lives restored, of forgiveness offered to all, sin washed clean, sickness is healed in Jesus. Mercy is received. Our debt is paid for. Death is defeated. Do I hear a hallelujah? Amen. Oh, I hear an amen. That's great. And life without pain is on offer to each and every single one of us. I mean, that's kind of where Revelation has been coming to. That this one, this offspring, will bring these things. That there will be a moment, there'll be a time when all the tears of this week, what a week it's been. Devastating to hear of such evil and sickness of man's heart. You understand, folks, don't you, that Satan is at work in this world. You understand that, don't you? We see just a pinnacle, just a little glimpse as it breaks through the crust of that holds it down, that holds evil down. Suddenly, every now and then, we see it breaking out. I mean, our world is creaking and cracking under the strain of this battle between good and evil, righteousness and unrighteousness. And this week, we've seen it break through the crust. And do we not cry out? Are there not tears in our hearts, if not in our eyes, over such a world? What is wrong with us that we would live in such a world in humanity? Why is it? Am I the only one who kind of feels it? No, we all feel this, don't we? We all feel this. But in Jesus, this is why this is so applicable, this series. In Jesus, in these times, there is hope. There is a promise, a certain promise, that one day God will come and he'll take his handkerchief and he'll wipe every tear away from our eyes. Revelation 21, verses 3 to 4, I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Praise be to God. This is the promise that we have in the one who is the offspring of David. But can I go one step further as I kind of bring this to a close? Not only is Jesus the expected child, not only is Jesus the kind of first fruits of blessing that is poured out upon the world or upon those that receive him, but in this title, and I'm so excited about this, but in this title, there is a promise for you and me that we too might become part of this great family. That we might be drawn in to be also children of God. Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7 says this, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Paul writes it a little bit more succinctly in Romans 8. Now that we are children of God, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. As you know, each of these sermons, I've tried to just bring a little picture an illustration. The last one, you all looked a bit nervous because it was the sword, if you remember. Well, this one is just simply my birth certificate. This is my birth certificate. It records when I was born on the 1st of December, 1967, at 11:22 p.m. That's 7 minutes after my twin brother, just in case you were interested. I was named Jonathan Lee. I was a boy. My father's still is, with Stephen Nathaniel Hunt, and my mum, Lillian Doris Hunt. And I praise God for them. And it records everything there for me to be reminded, I guess. And if anyone wants to know, there it is. There's the proof of who I am, who my parents are and where I was born and so forth. But I was kind of thinking about this, that actually in Christ, you open up a different birth certificate. And the birth certificate says, you know, it has the date of your conversion, or the date you gave your life to Jesus. And it has your Christian name on it. The name that God calls you. I don't know what God calls you, but whatever God calls you, it's got your name written on that. And the father and the mother is God himself, the Trinity. They are the ones that gave you birth, gave you life, breathed life into you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you now belong to their family, and you have a birth certificate that proves it and says, I belong to Jesus. I belong to the family of Jesus. I'm part of the offspring of Jesus. I'm a brother. I'm a sister. I'm a co-heir who sits with Jesus and has that great promise that we will live with him forevermore. Isn't this a lovely title? Now, when I first looked at this, I thought, oh, I'm not sure I'm going to cope with this one. The root and offspring of David. The one who's the mother of all mothers, the father of all fathers, has given you life. The one who is the first fruit of this family, the greatest, the expected child who came to save us and was the first brother of this family, as it were. And you and I have been drawn in to that family. If we love him, if we bow before him, we say, Jesus, you're my Lord and my Savior. And I don't know if everyone here has done that, but I guess that's one of the other applications of this, is that one day everyone would bow before this Jesus and accept him for who he is. But do you do that today? I really hope and pray that you do. And if you're not sure, come and talk to me or Toby or some of the other leaders. We'd love to talk to you more about what it is to be part of God's great family. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for a moment in prayer before we sing a great hymn of praise and worship.